the only man allowed to join the conclave via Skype, your host for Minds Over Matter, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Eric. I'm not Catholic, but I like to think that they'd welcome me anyway. So I'm only saying I'm not Catholic. I have nothing against being Catholic. I just wasn't raised that way. Anyway, so welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is, was, and shall always be an audience participation quiz program. So we hope you have the time to participate. It's great to have you listening to the show. We hope you are. That's 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, and just about everything else. So, again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, God willing, it will be available afterwards at kalw.org, along with some of our older shows. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman, back from a sojourn to Hollywood during Oscars week, can report only a few meager celebrity sightings. Nancy Sinatra at Catalina Jazz Club, Bon Jovi at Chateau Marmont. I assume you mean John Bon Jovi and not all of them. And Jane Lynch on the Paramount lot. Far more hot was the Loretta Young exhibit at the Hollywood Museum and the hot turkey sandwich at Musso and Frank. Loretta Young, she was quite a looker when she was a...
Oh, yeah. You know, the Hollywood Museum looks really tacky, but it's very well done inside.
Is it?
Yeah, I was surprised.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Yeah. I was just in a neighborhood, so I dropped in. Well, Joshua Cosman is getting into the spirit of the sequester by imposing sharp cuts on his own military expenditures.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes to announce that because of sequestration, he will have the same number of questions, but fewer answers.
All right, so that is us, and we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, who is the first stand-up comic to play Carnegie Hall? I'll give you a couple of guesses.
Does it give away too much to say how long ago it was?
I'm not sure when it was, actually.
Decade?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Which decade is what he
meant. I would only make a guess. I would probably guess the 60s.
Well, was it Lenny Bruce?
No.
Okay.
The 60s. Okay. Is this somebody still around today?
Yeah.
Bob Newhart.
Mm-mm. No.
Bill Cosby.
No. That's your two guesses.
Right. You have one. You have two guesses?
Yeah, well, I'll give you one more.
Carnegie Hall.
You're fairly familiar with.
I got nothing. Let me come back.
Okay.
Someone else will get it in the meantime, or else I'll take another crack later.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
Who was the first stand-up comic to play Carnegie Hall?
Okay. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so those of us who were watching the Oscars last week and not ogling Loretta Young saw history being made, as you probably are aware. Daniel Day-Lewis accomplished something that no one has ever accomplished before, which was to win an Oscar for appearing in a Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh,
so can you name the other three actors who tried and failed, who were nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, for appearing in a Spielberg movie without winning?
Harrison Ford.
For?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No.
No.
Liam Neeson for Schindler's List.
That is one.
So it must be another Harrison Ford.
Best Actor and Best Actress.
Right. There's some people got supporting nominations. Yeah. They didn't win either.
What's the other movie he made Harrison Ford made for Steven Spielberg.
Oh, don't assume that because I wanted you to give the full answer that any part of your answer was correct.
Well,
yeah, I don't think so, Jerry.
No, I don't think so.
Probably
okay.
Not.
No, okay. No, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was thinking about Anthony Hopkins in that the one about the slavery.
Thomas Douglas.
But I think that was for Best Supporting Actor. I think he was.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't.
This is for Best Actor.
This is for Best Actor, Best Actress. So I'm leaving the supportings out for the time being.
Huh. Okay. Just read the question once more.
We're looking for the three people who have gotten nominated before Daniel Day-Lewis for Best Actor or Best Actress Oscar for appearing in a Steven Spielberg-directed movie. They all lost. Daniel Day-Lewis was the first to win. Liam Neeson was one. Who are the other two?
All right. I'll do a question, and then we'll take a call here. You may have read or heard about Rosa Parks' statue being unveiled in Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol. The first African American woman to have a statue there. So my questions are: who was the last woman? It was in 2009. To have a statue unveiled in Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C. She was never in any political office, I will say that.
You said this is the last?
This is the last woman to have a statue unveiled in Statuary Hall. Each state...
2009.
That would be 2009. Each state can nominate two people to have statues there. Mm. And this person... I'm not going to say what state this person was from.
But this is someone who's closely associated with a particular state.
And yes. Yes, but never held any political office. So this is a very famous woman, somebody we all know.
So is it Helen Keller?
It is Helen Keller.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Excellent.
What state do you want to
Arkansas, I think.
That doesn't...
Or Alabama, Arkansas.
Alabama. Okay. All right, another question about Statuary Hall. Who was the only major Hollywood star to have a place in National Statuary Hall in Washington?
The only Hollywood star.
Is a major Hollywood star. Who is the only major Hollywood star to have a statue at the National Statuary Hall in the Capitol?
Ronald Reagan.
No.
John Wayne.
No.
Loretta Young.
No. Who is the only major Hollywood star to have a place in National Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C.?
Is there some... statesman-like reason that he would be there? Any political...
Again, this person never held political office.
Historic. I know, but is there any connection?
There's definitely a connection with the state.
Is it Will... No. Oh, okay. Will Rogers?
It is Will Rogers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my...
You're killing my question,
I don't think of him as a major Hollywood star. Was he?
In his day. Yeah,
oh, he was the biggest box office star in the U.S. for a couple of years. Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
I just think of him as being Mr. Oklahoma, you know.
All right. This is something much harder.
Good.
So. All right. Now pay attention. Who was the only major party presidential nominee to be named after another major party presidential nominee, and they were both losers in the general election?
Say that one more time.
All right. Who was the only major party presidential nominee to be named after another major party presidential nominee, and they were both losers in the general election? So see if you can name the original and the person who was named
ringing
after.
A bell. This is ringing a bell. I have to think about it.
All right. So once more, who was the only major party presidential nominee to be named after? And I mean, literally, the first and the middle name are the same. Of another major party presidential nominee. And they were both losers in the general election. And this is from the 19th century, by the way.
Both of them were.
They are.
Oh.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Joe from Union City.
Hello.
Last week you were talking about celebrities who appeared on the Flintstones.
Yes.
Did you mention James Dillon?
We didn't mention James Dillon, but I remember reading about him. I think it was... James Darrock or something like that.
Yeah, James Darrock.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed Sullivan was also referred to as Ed Sherlistone, too.
Ed Sully Stone, if I recall.
But also Ed Sherlistone.
Last, just for you guys weren't here last week, I asked many major celebrities were either they guested on the Flintstones or they were parodied on the Flintstones, mm-hmm. and there was, of course, the Stone Age version of their name.
Right.
Okay.
So, questions?
Yes.
Who was the first one was, is, who was the only film composer honored on This Is Your Life?
The only film composer honored on This Is Your Life. Do you know who's steering?
I can make a guess, but I can't. The name is not coming to me. I don't.
I'll make a guess, but it's just a guess. Dmitri Tiomkin.
Nope.
All right.
Max Steiner.
That's good.
Nope.
Don't look at me.
His first name starts with an E.
An E?
Ernest.
Yeah.
Well, there's a composer named Ernest Gold.
No. Nope, not him.
Be much more prominent.
First name starts
with... last name.
Eric Korngold.
Nope.
His first name starts with an E, you said.
Mm-hmm. Last name starts with a B.
Oh, B.
His initials are EB is what he said.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
No, we don't know.
Elmer Bernstein.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Elmer Bernstein.
We should have gotten that.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's my other question. So who was the only film composer ever to appear on the Jack Benny program?
On the TV show or the radio show?
I know Dmitri Tiomkin was on
the TV show.
I know Dmitri Tiomkin was on his radio show.
Yes, to give yourself a bow.
Yeah, because I read about that. Yeah.
Here's a question, Bill. What was the song that Jack Astin used in one of his film scores?
Say it, I didn't hear that quite well. Where was it?
Well, what was the name of the song that Jack used? That was a recurring joke on his show that he asked Dmitri Tiomkin to use in one of his film scores.
Oh, yes. He had a song, and maybe Jerry knows this too. He had a song that Jack Benny had a song, a running gag for years on his radio show that he was always trying to get people to sing that he had written.
That he had written.
He got all kinds of big celebrities to sing it, you know, Sinatra and Crosby and whatever. And, yeah, the name of the song was If You Say I Beg Your Pardon, Then I'll Come Back to You.
Back to you, yes.
Yeah, when you say... Yeah,
was that a real song or was that a comedy?
It was a real song. I've heard versions of the song, so yes.
Okay.
Dmitri Tiomkin kidded Jack for using from where I started instead of whence I started. Tiomkin was kidded for his poor English.
Mm.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, hi, is that me?
It is you.
This is Ruhama in San Francisco.
Hello.
Was the first stand-up comic in Carnegie Hall, would that be Mort Saul?
No, that's a very good guess. Well, the right era.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. What three advertising brand images were chosen as the 20th century's top advertising icons by Advertising Age magazine?
The top three what? I'm sorry?
Brand images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of the 20th century.
Of the 20th, yeah.
20th century, yeah.
I'll guess Marlboro Man.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Huh.
Before he died of lung cancer.
I don't know. I was gonna.
So these are characters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Hathaway shirt guy with the eye patch?
No.
How about Ronald McDonald?
Number two. Excellent. Okay. Wow. One more to go. This
How about Tony the Tiger?
That's good. This is
I'm
the third
the
is the hardest.
Ran.
You're just not in touch with the
comedy
people.
Clearly not. I'm still busy with, you know.
Okay.
Okay, why don't you repeat the question, Jerry?
Okay, what are the three brand images chosen as the 20th century's top advertising icons by Advertising Age magazine? And Dana got the Marlboro Man, number one, and Ronald McDonald, number two. Right. What is the third?
Okay, and it is a character.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. This is Big Radul in the Carneros.
Hello.
I have a movie question. You're familiar with John Ford's Cavalry Trilogy?
Yes.
Can you name the three actors that were in all three films?
Well, John Wayne.
Okay.
And Victor McLaughlin.
Okay.
And
Ward Bond?
No.
Well, no, he wasn't in the last one.
This one's going to be kind of difficult.
Let me think. How about, let's see, Fort Apache. Was it somebody like, what? It's is it a woman?
No.
Marina Harrow. Oh, okay.
No, he basically was a sergeant in each of the three films.
Sergeant in each of the three, huh?
Yeah.
Somebody like, oh, I think I know who you mean. Just very small parts, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he was a big guy.
Yakima Canet.
No.
Yeah.
Always loved it. What a
he
great
was a
name,
big
huh?
guy.
You're just making stuff up now.
No, he was a stuntman and also did some roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was equally as big as John Wayne.
He was.
Really?
He was.
Jack Elam.
He wasn't.
Well, the Jack part's correct.
Oh.
Jack Panic.
Got it.
All right. He was in all the four films.
Not real well known. Can I ask you another question about him, see if you know?
Okay.
He was kind of unique in his military service. Do you know why?
That I don't know. No, I don't know that. I'm sorry.
Okay, he served in both World War I and World War II.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, that's all I have.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. I hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And a number to join us with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman, and from the San Francisco Chronicle, classical music critic Joshua Cosman, who also does the crossword puzzle for The Nation magazine, or it's one of the authors, co-creators,
yeah.
Which every two weeks?
Every week.
Every week. Oh, my goodness. Okay. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I have a question here that I stole from the Sporkle quiz website. They had a great quiz this morning asking about, this is a geography question, but don't sweat it. You'll do fine. This is about pairs of countries in which each country shares the majority of its land border with the other. So, for example, Canada's land border is 100% bordering on the United States, and the United States is nearly 75% of it borders Canada. So that would be one pair. There are eight other pairs like that. And how many of them can you name? The first few are pretty easy if you think about it.
So it has to be at least...
It's countries that don't border anything else much except one other country and vice versa.
Maine. No, I know. Okay. Could you break it down by continents rather than just think of every single country?
Well, I could, but it's not as hard as you think. That's my first thought, too, when I saw it. I thought, well, what am I supposed to think about? But you think about countries that are...
Could be an island, in other words.
Exactly. So, for instance...
Like Ireland and Northern Ireland?
Ireland and United Kingdom.
The United Kingdom.
Right. Neither of them has any land borders with any country except the other.
I see.
So that's one, for sure. And there's some other pairs that are like that. Mm. Before it gets a little harder.
You'll get
the hang of it.
Brunei, can I do that? And
and what?
New Guinea. Isn't it Papua New Guinea?
But Papua New Guinea, it's not. But no, Brunei is, whatever it is that's surrounding it, has other things going on.
How about Lesotho?
No, you see, that's what I'm saying. Lesotho is completely borders South Africa, but South Africa doesn't really care much about Lesotho. Because it's bordering several other countries as well.
All right.
This is a mutual...
Go over the question again.
All right. We're looking for countries, a pair of countries in which each country is bordered, shares the majority of its land border with the other. So Ireland has no borders with anybody except UK. UK has no borders with anyone except Ireland.
Could we use Kuwait in Iraq or something like
that? Iraq has lots of land borders with lots of other countries.
Oh, I see. All right.
You're okay. Looking for that mutuality.
Right. All right. Let's
so,
see. Okay. Let's think about that.
Think about it.
And let's go to a call. You can try, Jerry. I know. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hi, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
Actually, I think I have a couple of answers maybe for Josh's last question.
Okay,
bring it.
Haiti and the Dominican Republic?
There you go. Good. That's the one that gives the idea of it.
And what about Scotland and England?
Well, we don't count those as separate countries.
No, not yet.
Not until they have that vote.
They're both part of Great Britain.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I have another one for you. For this Spielberg question earlier,
mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Was nominated for Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, he was.
I don't know if he was nominated for Catch Me If You Can. Was DiCaprio nominated for that?
I don't think either of them was.
I don't think so.
Okay. I didn't know about that. But, yeah, I remember Tom Hanks being nominated for
Saving Private Ryan, for sure.
Ryan.
Good.
Right. Okay. And then I have a question.
Yes.
For you. Last week's Oscars, frankly, there weren't very many funny jokes during it, but this is based on one of my favorite jokes from the Oscars ever. When David Letterman was hosting the Oscars, and one of the nominees for Best Foreign Language Film,
mm-hmm.
he said, was actually also the way that Arnold Schwarzenegger first asked out Maria Shriver. That is, the title of this film was the way that he first asked out Maria Shriver.
Huh.
You know what the film title was?
You mean the title?
The title of the film was the way he claimed that Schwarzenegger first asked out Maria Shriver.
I don't remember. Was it a German language film?
No, it was translated into English. It's actually a Chinese film.
Okay.
Oh, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman?
Exactly.
Very good.
That is a funny joke. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, I'm going to give you, this is a movie question. I'm going to give you six actors who played Nobel Prize winners in the movie. Okay. Or I should describe it this way. These are six actors who played people that won the Nobel Prize. The movie is not necessarily about this person winning the Nobel Prize.
Right.
Okay, so again, six actors who played Nobel Prize winners.
And you want us to name the...
They're all real people.
The people or the movie or both? Or?
I just want you to name the movie. That's it. No, I take it back. I want you to name... You can name the movie and the person that they're playing.
Bring it.
All right. Number one, Greer Garson. Number two, Willem Dafoe. Number three, Jack Nicholson. Number four, Walter Matthau. Number five, Christopher Plummer. Number six, Philip Noray. So again, these are six actors who played Nobel Prize winners in the movies. Number one, Greer Garson. Number two, Willem Dafoe. Number three, Jack Nicholson. Number four, Walter Matthau. Number five, Christopher Plummer. Number six, Philip Noray. I'll give you each one guess.
Nicholson in Reds played O'Neill?
Yeah, Eugene O'Neill. Yes.
And Walter Matthau played Albert Einstein in some negligible farce with, like, Tim Robbins and Meg Ryan or something like that.
It was a cute movie.
I never saw it. What was it called?
Called IQ.
Okay. Is that...
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So, Walter Matthau played Albert Einstein, and Jack Nicholson played Eugene O'Neill.
So, Willem Dafoe interests me. Jesus never won the Nobel Prize,
no.
Right?
Okay. Not yet, anyway.
Christopher Plummer.
No, until he comes back.
Oh, we only get one anyway. Okay.
Yes.
Forget about
it. We're still looking for Greer Garson, Willem Dafoe, Christopher Plummer, and Philippe Noiret.
I know who Philippe Noiret is. All right. You won't let me slip it in there?
Later on.
All right. All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Hey, I'm Christian Hill.
Hi.
Hi. Remind me not to follow Josh. I had Tom Hanks, and I had Haiti in the Dominican Republic.
Oh. We believe
but
you.
But I do have a guest for the Carnegie Hall. Was it Shelley Berman?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Wow.
Very good.
And did a little research afterwards. And just one more little thing. I'm a federal employee, and I work for you guys, and unfortunately for us, the sequestration is not a lot of fun.
We are stalwart again, stalwart in our opposition to it, and
yes.
Sorry, we didn't mean to make fun of...
I know there's a face to it.
What's that?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the program. I love it.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a call if you'd like with a question or answer. 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I have a guess on Jerry's question about the remaining 20th century advertising icon.
Okay.
Josephine the Plumber.
No, it's a good one, but no.
Okay. And I have not so much a question as a request that I keep forgetting to ask, and I wanted to ask 2 weeks ago. I would love to hear Dana's Lincoln joke, if there's any way you can.
I can't, because it's too tasteless to tell on the air.
But
if you send me an email at mindsovermatter@yahoo, I'll tell it to you.
All right. Thank you.
Did you write the Seth MacFarlane joke, too?
No. Nothing to do with that. let's go. Oh, let's see. Jerry, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, our listeners tend to like automobile questions. So, according to a survey by the J.D. Power and Associates company, what were judged the four most dependable cars and the four least dependable?
Currently?
Yeah.
Okay. Not the 32 Hutmobile or anything like that. most dependable car. All right.
I drive a Honda. Is that on the...
No, it is not.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Then I'm done. That's the only car I know.
Okay. Most dependable car.
And least dependable. Four least dependable.
Yeah.
It's more interesting.
May we ask you... how many are American and how many are foreign? Do you mind?
No. Let's see. I'm not quite sure I know. One of the four most dependable is American.
Oh.
And the least dependable, one is American. Maybe two. I'm not sure who makes this one car. I think maybe two.
Most dependable. Well... Is a Subaru one of the most dependable?
No.
Oh. I read the consumer reports on these things. I have to think about that. Okay, just read the question once more, would you?
What were judged the four most dependable cars in a survey by J.D. Power and Associates, and what were judged the four least dependable?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is James from the Mission.
Hi.
So going back to the iconic 20th century advertising images,
mm-hmm.
I have two. One would be Mr. Peanut.
No, that's a very good guess. No. It's probably not at the top three.
I don't know if this would be appropriate, but the guy who squeezed the Sherman...
That's a good one.
Oh, Mr. Whipple.
Mr. Whipple.
And then in terms of the countries that share the greatest border, I also was going to say Haiti and the Dominican Republic, but would Argentina and Chile?
Yes.
Very
well
good.
Done. Exactly.
And then there was, I was thinking North Korea, South Korea.
I thought that too, but then it turns out North Korea has this big border with China. So,
what about
China? Was longer border than the one with South Korea, isn't it?
Would Inner Mongolia and Mongolia be appropriate?
I don't know about Inner Mongolia. I don't know that those are separate countries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. Well, I think that's all I've got.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. How about the Maytag repairman?
No.
Okay.
Good also. I'll give you this much. It's a kind of a cartoon character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Not like the Marvel
Man. Is it
Man.
The Michelin Man? Is it the...
No.
What's the name of that character?
I used to know
the
his
bum,
name.
The
Puffy.
Yeah.
I don't
Puffy.
Know what his name
How about
is
the... Yeah.
Hmm. No, that's the...
Oh, wait a minute.
No, you're thinking
then.
Of the Tasty Cake. The,
yeah.
The Stay Puff.
Pillsbury
Doughboy.
No.
But not.
No.
All right.
Okay. Right.
Is it a cereal? Is it one of the cereal animals? Is it cat and
not an animal?
It's not an animal.
I asked, but
it's a.
I guess
it's a caricature of a person.
Yeah.
Is it Captain Crunch?
No.
Okay.
Huh. All right.
Okay.
Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Well, let's see. I've had this question kicking around for a while, but recently they put the Monopoly tokens up to a vote and voted out the iron, and they voted in a cat.
Right.
This has happened before in 2004.
They voted out what?
Well, they booted the iron out of the Monopoly. You didn't see this?
The iron?
You remember the playing pieces, the tokens, the car, the shoe.
I forgot about the tokens.
The terrier.
Yeah.
So they booted out the iron and they opened it up to a vote to what people wanted to replace it. And it's now there's a cat. Oh. A cat, if you can imagine. This happened once before with Operation, a game that we probably played as kids. In 2004, they added a new item. You remember the Operation? Which
no,
was
I don't.
Like
it's after my
the,
time.
The cartoon
the character
guy,
has the red nose.
The red nose,
yeah.
And you try and get the... There's the bread basket and the wrench in his ankle and the Adam's apple. And
right.
They added a new item by popular vote. Fans voted out the tennis elbow and the growling stomach and voted in favor of what? This was a new item that was added to Mr. Operation Guy.
Prostate?
Yeah, prostate.
This is long after my time, I'm afraid.
Is it?
Yeah.
My era is...
I seem to have written down that the game started in 1965.
Mr. Potato Head is my era.
No. Jerry never played Operation, only Doctor.
And Changeable Charlie.
Oh. And, okay. Yeah, it's been an awfully long time since
I thought that's what you
played
with the...
No. I got that joke first.
Okay.
Right. Well, if anybody knows it, they should call in. What the new piece that was added by popular vote in 2004 to the Milton Bradley game Operation.
All right.
What are some of the other Monopoly tokens? I forgot about those completely.
The iron, the race car, the top hat, the terrier, shoe.
Okay.
There's eight of them. We could probably name them all. That would be a good question
in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But all right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, yeah. This is Eric from San Francisco. And the question about a country that only has one country around it? Or
Well, not quite. We're looking for pairs of countries. But go ahead. Maybe you got the right answer anyway.
Well, you know, this is kind of a half right. Vatican, San Marino.
Well, yeah. See, that's the thing. It's not. We're not looking for a country that has only the one. That's half the answer. The problem is Italy has. For that to be right, Italy would have to have no other borders except San Marino or Vatican. It's kind of a mutual thing.
Singapore, another one? It wouldn't work?
Well, no, because Singapore has nothing but border with China, but China has lots of border.
Singapore is bordered with Malaysia.
Malaysia, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and South Korea wouldn't work, like the other color. Yeah,
exactly.
Huh. Cyprus?
Cyprus has no land borders.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I misconstrued the question.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Singapore is next to Malaysia, not China?
Yeah, no relation. No border with China.
I feel a fool. Okay.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe that nobody got... this is John from San Francisco. I can't believe that nobody didn't immediately get Madame Curie, Marie Curie for Greer Garson.
Very good.
Oh, yeah. I'm
glad you did.
The decision, of course, was Pierre Curie in that... for countries that border, isn't over in Indonesia there a Papua New Guinea and Borneo connected together like that?
Yeah, but Indonesia has most of its land border with a different country. It's very little of it actually border. Very little of Indonesia's...
It's like an island.
There are too many caveats to this question.
I'll have to check the map. Anyway, just when I throw that one in, here's a question maybe you can answer.
Yes.
Can you name a Puccini opera and it's in the original Italian, of course, that has a six-letter fruit in the middle of it. why that, if I said a poultry for an opera that has a three-letter word, and the word would be hen in Lohengrin.
Orange, so orange.
In between other letters.
That's
like
not
that. And there are two letters in front, and and four letters at the end that encompass this.
So he said
yes.
It's
Suor Angelica, which indeed has, as Jerry says, has orange in the middle.
Sure, yeah, got it.
That's very nice.
Very good, Jerry. has orange in it. Very good.
Good. Hey, thanks.
Thank you. And we are a little past halfway in the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet, Jerry.
Okay, we got two of the three brand images that were chosen as the 20th century's top advertising icons by Advertising Age magazine. Dana got both of them, Ronald McDonald and the Marlboro Man. I'm looking for the third major advertising icon. And what was judged by a major survey, the four most dependable cars and the four least dependable cars now on the market?
Okay.
I am looking for the third actor who got a nomination for acting in a Steven Spielberg movie without winning, Liam Neeson in Schindler's List and Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan were two. What's the third? Looking for the name of the item that was added by popular vote to the Milton Bradley game operation in 2004. And in one of the most misunderstood questions in a very long time, looking for pairs of countries, each of which is the other's majority border. Not just one, but both of them have to be devoted to each other border-wise. So like Chile and Argentina, Dominican Haiti, Republic and Haiti, and Ireland and UK were three of them.
Eritrea and Sudan?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I can give you some more examples, but then I'm giving away the easier ones.
Eritrea and Ethiopia.
Not Eritrea and Ethiopia. In fact, none of them are in Africa.
Oh.
You wanted to know continents. I've got two in Central America, two pairs in Central America, two pairs in Europe, and one in Southeast Asia.
Is Belize one?
It is not.
Next time, let's do the States.
Okay. I'll work on that next time.
Is El Salvador one?
No.
Oh, okay. And what do I have here? Who is the only major party presidential nominee to be named after another major party presidential nominee, and they were both losers in the general
election? I'm not sure how you didn't understand it. What does that mean?
Like Woody Guthrie's name was Woodrow Wilson Guthrie.
Yeah.
So that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
Oh, presidential candidate.
So, if Martin Luther had ever run for president and lost, yeah.
Second person's first and middle name represented the first and last name of the original nominee.
Well, nobody's weighing in on this, so I'm going to make a halfway guess. I have the feeling that the earlier candidate is Henry Clay, and that there's someone named Henry Clay something that I can't think of.
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
And okay. I gave you actors who played Nobel Prize winners. The ones I have left are Willem Dafoe, Christopher Plummer, and Philippe Noiré. Again, what movies and who did they play? They played Nobel Prize winners, and name the Nobel Prize winner in the movie. Willem Dafoe, Christopher Plummer, and Philippe Noiré. All right, I want to get this, since Josh is here, I'm going to use this question. Let me explain. This is a movie question, but I'm going to give you 6 actors who played in a film with the same title as a famous opera. Now, it may not be an adaptation of that opera, but it has the same title as a famous opera. Okay? But it might be an adaptation.
Are these six different movies?
These are six different movies.
Okay, all right, got it.
So these are six different movies. I'm giving you six actors who played in movies with the same title as a famous opera. It could be an adaptation of that opera, and it could have nothing to do with it as well.
Brilliant.
All right. Number one, Laurence Olivier. Number two, Henry Fonda. Number three, Rex Harrison. That's my favorite one. Number four, Anton Walbrook. You may not know who Anton Walbrook is, but I like him a lot. He's a good actor. Number five, Laurel and Hardy.
Oh.
And number six, Terrence Stamp.
Hmm.
So again, these are actors who played in films that had the same title as a famous opera. It may be an adaption of that opera, and it may not have, it may have nothing to do with that opera, but it's the same title. So number one, Laurence Olivier. Number two, Henry Fonda. Number three, Rex Harrison. Number four, Anton Walbrook. Number five, Laurel and Hardy. Number six, Terrence Stamp. I'll give you each a guess.
Laurel and Hardy, I sort of can see it, but I can't. It's a kind of a parody.
There are two answers to the Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, really?
Yes, there are two examples.
Well, one of them is sort of a parody of the opera, as I recall. Or, no?
Roughly.
No.
Yeah, well, you know,
okay.
Roughly.
Or a playoff of it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to think about Laurel and Hardy. And,
okay.
Harrison, Rex Harrison.
Huh? Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is, and I don't know what how far you're going, how loosely you're interpreting famous opera, but there is... Ambroise Thomas did write an opera on Hamlet, which was done at the San Francisco Opera about 10, 12 years ago. It's not very good, but it is a real opera.
I should give you partial credit for that, but that's not the one I had in mind. This is more famous than that particular opera, I would say.
Okay.
You're thinking that for Olivier?
Olivier.
Yeah, right. And it's legitimate.
He got an Oscar for that.
Yeah, he did. But it's not the most famous opera in the world.
No. But okay.
Okay. This is considerably more famous.
Gee.
Yeah.
And it's the same title.
Same title, yes.
Hmm.
There's no, Josh. My knowledge of these movie guys, I mean, there's no opera of My Darling Clementine.
No.
There's no The Lady Eve was never made into an opera.
No.
So, you know.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Berkeley.
Hi, John.
I have no answers, but I do have a question.
Okay.
So what was the first Broadway musical to use the phrase "the musical" in its title?
Ooh.
So it'd be something...
Oh, that's a very good question.
That's a great question.
Very good question.
And what year would it have been?
Well... Okay, this is all a fairly current...
So it's something blank blank the musical kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh.
Just so that people were not mistaken.
Yeah.
That it was
I agree with you that it's probably pretty recent.
Oh, yeah, that's a recent idea.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea, I think, but...
It's quite common now.
Yeah,
it
I know
is.
It is.
Yeah.
They all do that. Instead of, you know...
Was this a hit?
It was probably Infamous.
Oh.
Didn't they make did I am I imagining it, or did they make a Broadway musical out of the Goonies?
Out of what?
Goonies. Joe
not that I know
Dante movie.
How about Carrie the musical?
That's good.
What was that?
Carrie the musical.
You're exactly right.
You said it was, you said it was Notorious, so that's,
yeah.
Well,
and that's the first, huh? Okay.
And what year? Well, as far as I know.
That was like the 70s, I think. 70.
No, later than that.
Yeah, 80s. Mid-80s, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting there. 1988.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Debbie in Richmond.
Hi.
I have a guess for the countries ordering each other. How about Norway and Sweden?
Exactly so. Well done. Thank you.
Pretty easy, Dana.
And I have another guess. I'm not sure. North Korea and China?
No. North Korea has a big border with China, but China has lots of borders with lots of other people.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Yes, Jerry?
Laurel and Hardy, Babes in Toyland.
That's an operetta. That's not really
an
opera.
Okay, all right. That's the one I know. Okay.
I'm going to give you a small
sell
for that.
Okay.
But
oh, I know what Terrence Stamp was in. He was in Billy Budd.
That's correct. He
very
was in
good.
Billy Budd.
Okay.
Yeah, very
yes.
Good. Okay.
All right.
I'm thinking of the Limey.
I mean, there were two others connected to Laurel Hardy, huh? Besides
yes,
the one I gave.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And let's see. Jerry, I think it's your turn. We can go.
Okay. This sounds like you've asked it, or maybe even I've asked it. But anyway, after Walt Disney, who has the most Oscar nominations?
This came up. Didn't you ask this? Somebody asked
this.
Well,
it might have been me.
Very recently.
I didn't cross it out. Okay. Well, all right.
Isn't it John Williams?
Yeah, John Williams. Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's forget that one.
If it's a long question, save it.
No, it's not long, but it's a good one. I want to save it for next week.
All right.
Okay. All right, let's see.
Thanks. Come back next week, then, John.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What nation's coat of arms features a picture of Noah's Ark resting atop Mount Ararat?
Must be Armenia, right?
It is Armenia. Very good. Okay, another quickie. Since you're knocking these off.
Ripped from the pages of his calendar.
I think Josh will know this, too, being our religion expert.
Right.
In the Old Testament, what is the second half of Moses' demand that Pharaoh let my people go?
That they may worship me in the desert.
That they may serve me in the wilderness. Very good. Very good.
Translation.
Very good.
Oh, Josh.
That's good. That's good, yeah. Okay.
Well, Hebrew school really paid off.
Hey, you know.
Okay, Armenia, boy, that's very good.
So, nobody's weighing in with Philippe Noiret, and the problem is I know exactly who it is, and I'm having a brain fade about the actual name. I can tell you everything about this guy. I know exactly who. You're not going to take it unless I get the name. Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm going to keep thinking about it.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Ah, got it.
Okay. Hi, are you there? Anybody there? Sorry. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hey, I have a guess for the geography question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spain and Portugal.
Yes.
Very good.
Very good. Well done.
All right. No questions. I'm looking at 16th century composers. So.
Okay.
unless you know one, a 16th century composer whose name is like a city in South Africa.
Who?
Johannes Berg?
No.
I just made him up. I don't know if that's
right,
a real composer.
Fine.
Sounds plausible, doesn't it?
Well, Johannes sounds good.
I know.
Is it Johannes something?
No, let's see. It's kind of Latin sounding, like the name of a Roman official.
Oh, Pretorius.
Yes. You got it. Michael Pretorius.
Michael Pretorius.
Good job.
I think there's a Heinrich Pretorius, too.
Yeah, I think there were more than one.
Yeah. Pretorii is the correct
Pretori,
plural.
Yes. All right. Hey, thanks. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And Josh, you have something quick?
Philippe Noiret in the movie Il Postino played Pablo Neruda.
That's right. Played Pablo Neruda.
Couldn't think of his name for the life of me. Sure, I got one for you.
All right.
So at the recent Oscars ceremony, Argo won Best Picture, which means that was two in a row where the Best Picture started with the same letter, discounting definite articles. You know, the artist last year, Argo next year. Only one time has there been a stretch of three consecutive Best Picture winners starting with the same letters.
Oh, God.
Well, that's an interesting question.
It's hard to know. Letter is. It. The letter is A.
Okay. Oh, A.
And I'll even tell you that two of the three start with the same word. And this is discounting articles, so I'm not counting, you know, A or An as the A.
Yeah.
All right. Go over the whole thing once more.
I'm looking for the only time that three consecutive Best Pictures have started with the same letter. The letter in question is A, and in fact, two of the three start with the same word.
So I couldn't say The Apartment?
You could say The Apartment if that was one of them.
But it's not.
All right. But that's exactly what we're talking about in terms of getting, you know, disregarding definite and indefinite articles.
All About Eve.
And?
I don't know. Danny can fill in the this.
All right.
Before and after.
49, 50, 51 then.
It's a team effort.
Yeah.
Good.
Right. All the King's Men.
That's one.
All About Eve, and 51 is An American in Paris.
Well done. Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
Couldn't have done it without you, Jerry.
No, I know. You couldn't have. That doesn't happen often.
I gave you your props. You didn't have to.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Julie in Oakland.
Hi.
And I was thinking that the advertising icon might be Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
No, it isn't.
Oh,
Speedy. No, that's
good.
Very good. I'm sure he's one of the top 10, but not top 3.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Always enjoy Sunday night with you guys. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
thanks
that.
For listening.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Bubba Frisco Dave.
Hello.
I want to take a shot at matching operas and movies.
Yes.
How about Othello for Olivier?
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. That's right.
Yeah, I'll give you a small bell. It's
why
not
small?
Again, it's not the one I had, but
that doesn't make it any less.
Yeah,
small.
But I'll give you credit
yeah,
for
that's
that.
Big.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. And
Fonda.
I should say it. I guess I should have said in Olivier's case, it's non-Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to say I think because I think there's somebody I'm sure wrote an opera on Henry V. I don't know who it would have been. It might have been Walton. But, oh, no, I'm thinking of...
No.
I'm thinking of... Yeah.
All right.
Well, someone did.
Fonda,
okay.
To me, is the oddball in a way.
There again, it's not famous, but 2 years ago, the Minnesota Opera premiered an opera of
older.
Of
everything
wrath.
Is... All these
yeah,
are
I
much
know,
older.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Well, I was holding back because I really kind of have half of an answer. The losing president named after the losing presidential candidate, it's like Winfield Scott somebody.
Yes, I give you credit for that. General Winfield Scott and General Winfield Scott Hancock.
Right, Hancock.
So one is Winfield Scott was defeated by Franklin Pierce in 1852, and Winfield Scott Hancock was defeated by James Garfield in 1880.
I was racking my brain for that last name.
Right.
And enlighten us, was Winfield Scott also a general, or was he named general?
He was
general
a very famous
general.
Okay. He was one of the most famous generals of the Mexican-American War, and was the chief of staff during the first part of the Civil War.
Mm. Okay.
So I have a question.
And Winfield Scott Hancock was one of the top generals at Gettysburg, by the way. So,
right.
Yes, go ahead.
Let's see. What actor played both Jesus Christ and Captain of the Starship Enterprise?
Jeffrey Hunter.
That's correct.
the only film that had Jesus as having blue eyes. King of Kings.
King of Kings. okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I want to say Fonda and Mice and Men, but he wasn't. That was.
Oh.
He, yeah.
He was not
Burgess
in Mice
Meredith.
And Men. That, yeah, Burgess
yeah,
Meredith.
Okay.
Right.
He should have. All right. Okay.
Right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mike from Berkeley.
Hi, Mike.
Effort for the advertising image, is it the Nike swoosh?
The who?
Oh, the Nike swoosh.
No. It's a person.
Or it's a caricature.
A cartoon.
A character image. Oh,
a cartoony
right.
person, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good guess, but no. And this goes way back, this one.
Hmm. Is that it?
No, I'm a blank.
Okay, thank you.
Is it the Eveready battery guy?
No.
What's
no. Ready Kilowatt.
You ready? Yeah, there we go.
Ready Kilowatt.
Where did that come from?
Is it the devil on Underwood Double Tan?
No, that's the old. That's the oldest one.
Yeah, that's the oldest
no,
one.
No.
All right.
It's very, very famous.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from San Francisco.
Hi, Paul.
For Laurel and Hardy, could it be Fra Diavolo?
Yes, it could be.
Yes.
And there's actually another one, too. Do you have any idea what that might be?
No, but I remember seeing Fra Diavolo at the San Francisco Opera back in 67.
Right. The other one is The Bohemian Girl.
Oh, never heard of that.
Yeah.
These are both, I'm going to say these are both less commonly done than Ambroise Thomas' Hamlet.
Well,
I there's no way that, The Bohemian Girl has never been
well,
done.
The Bohemian Girls, but that's
ever. Michael Balfe.
But I think Fra Diavolo is, that's Auber, right?
I think that's Auber.
Wasn't Auber a much more famous opera composer?
Back in the 19th century, yeah.
Well, yes, when most of these operas were written.
Yes.
Thank you. That was a great answer.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I just have one question, very short question for you. Mm-hmm. Since you've been talking about my favorite comedians, Laurel Hardy. They did make a movie which really described our, economical condition today. Do you know what movie it was?
What was that again, Eve?
It described the economy of today, with hardship, foreclosures.
Yeah.
Maybe the word foreclosure was very close to, in that movie. An old woman was foreclosed upon.
Oh, that's a short. That's not a...
Full.
Really? Old woman was foreclosed.
Yeah, about an hour and 20 minutes. I watch it frequently.
They
had this old woman, a beautiful girl.
And it's a Laurel and Hardy movie, huh?
Want to marry the little girl, the beautiful girl.
Pack Up Your Troubles?
No. Very famous. But actually, these people were very wise because it pretty much predicted where we are today.
What is it? We've only got a couple of minutes. You better tell.
I recommend everybody watch it. It is The March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Oh, all right.
Watch it, everybody. Please. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
I'll rent it.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
That icon for advertising, was Mr. Clean tried?
Who? Mr. Clean.
No?
You're close.
It's the Jolly Green Giant.
The Jolly Green Giant.
Oh. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten it without you, Thomas.
They're like the same guy, but one is green.
Yeah. Nice to know I'm inspiring.
Very good.
Listen, is there a movie called Beggar's Opera that Olivier or Fonda did?
Yes, there is. Olivier did a version of the Beggar's Opera.
Yeah. And what about Walbrook? Is he in the running for Wojciech?
No.
Okay. Nice hearing you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yes, Olivier is the Beggar's Opera. And
who is that? Fonda and Harrison?
All right, yeah, we better clean up here. We've got plenty.
Okay, the cars judged the four most dependable in a major survey, the Lexus, Porsche, and tied for third, Toyota and Lincoln.
Porsche is a dependable car?
No, that's what this is. And the four least dependable, Jeep, Mitsubishi, Dodge, and Land Rover.
Okay.
That's me. That's
all right, gone. Josh.
Operation replaced, added an ice cream cone in the head called Brain Freeze.
All right.
And the third actor who was nominated for a Spielberg movie was Whoopi Goldberg, nominated for Best Actress in The Color Purple.
All right. Oh, yeah.
And the countries that were missed were Malaysia, Indonesia, has a very long border, and in Central America, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Panama, Costa Rica.
All right. Willem Dafoe played T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot.
In what?
Just a couple of years ago.
In Tom and Viv.
Tom and Viv, yes.
There you go.
Christopher Plummer played Kipling in The Man Who Would Be King.
Oh.
All right. Actors who played in films with the same title as a famous opera. Olivier, as we said, was The Beggar's Opera. Henry Fonda was in War and Peace.
Oh, yes.
War and Peace. Rex Harrison was in The Rake's Progress. Anton Walbrook, and this is a very enjoyable film. It was very well done on a relatively small budget. The Queen of Spades.
Oh.
Same story.
Yeah. Who is Anton Walbrook? Should I know who he is?
If you ever saw The Life and Death of Colonel Blimp, you would know.
Oh, you've been at me about that for a long time.
Terrence Stamp, Billy Budd, and Laurel Hardy, as we said, was the Fra Diavolo... The Bohemian Girl, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel was Jerry Nachman and Joshua Cosman from The Chronicle. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Our thanks to Eric Wayne for handling the board and the phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
You bank, if it ain't B, it's Frank. It's got to be this or that.